Hello and welcome to Ripples of Humanity. I am Rachel Thompson and I've started this podcast to share interesting stories along my travels of people and things I've discovered that are creating positive ripples throughout humanity. In this episode, I am taking you to the beachside surf town in Weligama on the south coast of Sri Lanka, where I met Connie, who runs non-profit animal shelters. She has one shelter based on the Indonesian island of Sumatra and another on the east coast of Sri Lanka in the town of Trincomalee. She stays in Weligama, where she runs a smaller home-based shelter, currently housing 19 cats and 7 dogs. This is where she hosts workaway volunteers to assist with the daily care for the animals. Some include the paralyzed cats, Minky and Aika, who love endless cuddles, bouncy Heidi and her bestie two-legged pal Ravi. If you want more information about the Workaway volunteering concept and platform, check out episode 3 of the podcast where I introduce this. So in my 3 weeks staying nearby Weligama, I've been spending some afternoons volunteering at the shelter with the beautiful cats, dogs and other volunteers helping out. I was immediately intrigued with Connie's journey, going from a German-based social worker in mental health to committing to running these animal shelters full-time. Connie has an overflowing passion for what she does and has really trusted and followed her heart to bring these shelters to life and stay in operation. She employs local people to help run the shelters and is working hard to address the greater systemic issues around stray cats and dogs. She's also supporting disadvantaged local children and families in different projects she'll speak about. I'm grateful for Connie giving her time to share more about her journey. I hope you enjoy. Thank you, Connie, for speaking today. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about your story. I think a nice place to start will be to hear about what got you first into your love for animal volunteering and especially rescue animals.
Thank you very much that we sit and speak together today. All my life already, when I was a child, I really loved animals so much. I had always cats and birds and rabbits and many animals. I was never allowed to have a dog, but it was always my big dream. And I had by my own dogs, and then I had one India trip. And that time I volunteered in Goa at the dog temple. And I really love this, and I stood there like for 4 months working there, and it was very intense and beautiful, and I learned a lot of things there, and I was very happy, and I felt like, okay, this is a kind of living which really fits to me.
And what were you doing before that? What were you working in?
I was working as a social worker with mental illness adults.
That, where was that? Which country?
In Germany.
In Germany. Yeah. Cool. And then you decided to go to India for a 4 month trip.
Just, I wanted to make a trip. And then I extend.
And then did you go back to social work after that?
Yeah, I was social working again. Yeah. And later I did another trip, and that time I ended up in Indonesia in Sumatra. You hear in the background that cat mother and kitten playing and fighting a bit. And there I started my first shelter by accident.
Okay. Cool. So you went back to Germany, and then you went on a trip to Sumatra. And that intention there was, what was the intention for that trip?
So it was like this, that my both dogs died. Like the first dog was very old. The other dog has a tumor in the head. And he had special therapy against this cancer. But there was, nothing success. So finally I had to put her asleep. And then I knew, okay, my dream was always to make a world trip, but if I stay in Germany, I cannot be without a dog. Like, I will feel so bad. So I have to go quite fast on the world trip. Otherwise, I will have the next dog.
The next dog to hold you down.
Yeah, exactly. So I traveled to Myanmar.
We're at the volunteer house here in Midigama and in Waligama, and we've got the cats here on the bed playing. So cute.
And the kitten is making this sound.
So the world trip, I
traveled to Bangladesh and Myanmar and then to Indonesia to Sumatra, and I was also in Bali, I guess, that time for a yoga teacher training. And then in Sumatra I was in Bukit Lawang, which is North Sumatra, where you can still see orangutan in the rainforest. So it's a very beautiful place. I loved it. And then I found them puppies in a bad condition, like very skinny with mange. And also the mother was full of mange and they was very scared. And there was a really old woman taking care more or less about them. And I started treatment. And then she said, okay, on Friday she gonna sell the dogs. And then... I had someone to help me translate because she was not speaking English. She was a very poor woman. And I asked, who gonna buy the dogs? Yeah, she doesn't care. She just needs the money. And it was like pretty clear it will be for the meat market.
Yeah.
So someone will take the puppies, wait until they're big enough, and then he will sell them for lots of money for the meat market. And of course, my heart was breaking. I thought I was already attached to these puppies. And I thought I cannot let happen this. And as I couldn't sleep one night, what can I do? I talked to other animal protector, but in Sumatra there's nearly no animal shelter. And I thought, shit, what I can do? And then I started with a friend of mine to build a big fence with a dog hut to keep this dog family there. And we paid money for this woman because, she needed the money. And she started working for us, taking care of the dogs for a monthly salary.
Yeah.
And this was really a nice change. And it was nice for 1.5 or 2 years. And then she started not taking care properly and she wanted more money. And so we skipped working with her. But meanwhile, I was already back to Germany. Oh, wow, we have another background sound.
Now we've got thunder in the background.
Yeah. It was Corona time and I decided not to stay longer at the jungle place because nobody know what will happen and everything. So I went back to Germany and I was always online connected with a friend. And then there were coming up more emergency cases about dogs who should be sold to the meat market or who were in a bad condition, and also many sick helpless cats. So I found a very good cat team through another friend.
Who are these friends?
I have so very good luck with the friends.
Yeah.
And I really set it up the rest of the rescue through the internet, just through being in contact, through videos and video calls. And it was not planned, it just started like this. And meanwhile already the cat team is working for me. I think since 2.5 years. And I have a different dog team now, so we have 2 packs at 2 places. Altogether there are just 15 dogs, which is nothing comparing to Sri Lanka. And they're doing a good job.
Wow. How many cats in Sumatra?
Cats is difficult to say because we have sponsorships for young women. To support their education, because in Sumatra it's 80% Muslims, and normally the girls they have to marry already before they are 18, and they are very dependent on the men, and there's also happening quite often violence. So my idea was, I really want to support them to go university, And they just take care of street cats who need a safe place.
Right.
And we have four girls like this.
Amazing.
And they are all still studying, and one wants to get the teacher, and the other one wants to get a vet, which is, of course, amazing. That's and so this places, the cats, there are, I guess, about 30. Then we have one Kathy, she's taking care for 60 cats in a very nice green area. And my cat team, they have also about 30 cats, and always new patients from the street are coming, and after recovering, they go back to the street. Only kitten they have to keep, because you cannot put them back to the street after staying long term with them.
Okay, so you've got a bit of a system going with that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then what point along this journey did you give up social work? And you said, okay, this is now my future, and I'm going to commit to this financially, energetically, emotionally, everything.
That's a good question. I think the point that I really decided I stop the social work and I give all my energy to the animals was after settling up the shelter in Sri Lanka. Because I decided, okay, I will live in Sri Lanka, so of course I cannot go on with the social work. And soon I realized also there's not any energy and time left to do any other work, because it's so intense emotionally and mentally and also physically in this heat, the work in this heat at season time. And there was a lot of physically work also with the animals, like sitting and resting is very rare.
Yeah, it's very demanding. So then you came to Sri Lanka. So you had the Sumatra shelter set up, and then you came to Sri Lanka.
Yes.
And that's where you met a dog, and the dog's name was Loku.
Yes, Loku. Like, this is Tamil, and also in Sinhala it's the same, and the translation is like big, like a big brother.
Mm.
Yeah. So... Yeah. Yeah, this dog, he had a completely open bag full of maggots, and he just looked at me like, please help me or I'm gonna die. And so I went for treatment, I think it was like 4 weeks until the wound was really closed. And so I spent a long time there in Trincomalee. And while this time, I met many other dogs in need. It was also Corona time. The restaurant was closed. The hotels were closed. So the street dogs had no food. I started feeding the street dogs. I started in the hotel the first small castration program, I think with 8 dogs that time.
Okay.
And I met Nirojan. So Nirojan, this was also a big turning point, because he is Sri Lankan, he's a Tamil guy, he loves animals a lot, and he started working with me at the street for the animals. And after this 4 weeks, we decided, okay, if I go back to Germany, we cannot stop completely, and all the dogs who were already attached to us and used to get food and care will be by themselves again. So my mind definitely told me, okay, Connie, you have already one animal rescue in Sumatra. Already financially, it's really tough. Already, it's a lot of work online all the time. So how you can make another one in Sri Lanka? This is not really a clever idea. But my heart was just too loud. And then I decided, okay, let's do it. So we really, in 1 month, we found a place and we set up the shelter with all the fences and all the equipment. And I found another worker who was working together with Nirojan. And beginning time, we had only 40 dogs.
40 dogs.
40 dogs.
Okay.
This was the start.
Already.
This was,
Yeah. And then now how many dogs are there?
And also now there are more than 200 dogs.
So 200 dogs. Yeah. So now, so that was in Trincomalee, which is the east coast of Sri Lanka.
Yes.
And then now you're living in Weligama, which is the south coast, southwest coast of Sri Lanka. And you've got a volunteer house set up here. So you've got the cats and the dogs and volunteers come to the Workaway
platform. Small amount of dogs, a big amount of cats, 19. Yeah. And they are also coming, dogs, before they get adopted to my house, that I can prepare them a little bit to learn some things.
Okay.
And once a month, I'm in Trincomalee for 1 or 2 weeks to visit the big shelter. Now we have 7 people working there, 2 are living in the shelter, the other coming every day. Yeah, and I visit the families and the handicapped children who we have in our program. And
you've touched on that, so you've got a program where there's the sponsorship of the cat, but people can also sponsor for handicapped children or disadvantaged children to also have support as well.
We have only in Sri Lanka till now, that we have until now 2 families with really heavily handicapped children, like they cannot walk, they cannot talk. And of course, here in Sri Lanka, especially on the East Coast, which is a really poor part of Sri Lanka, there is no support from the government and no therapy or special program. And the parents are also overwhelmed by what they can do with the child. And I was working also long time before with children with special needs, so I can a little bit give them ideas as well. And if they adopt a cat or a dog, they get sponsorships, so I have to search people who like to support, and then they get extra money for the child, or we buy directly milk powder and Pampers, and this is very expensive and they need it a lot, and special toys which they can use in their situation. And I would really like to have more programs that, like this, like more families. So I'm waiting right now. We started to cooperate with Children Foundation, which is a really big organization, and they know many families, and they know also which families have kids with special needs, so they we cooperate, and I will know a new family with a handicapped child.
That's so cool.
And then I will try to find again sponsors. So we always need sponsors for families, for poor families and families with children with special needs.
It's beautiful that you've been able to merge your social work background and your experience there with this love for animals and animal rescue and the programs you're running. So that's a really nice compatibility there.
Yeah, it's nice that you're saying this, because it's really that the social work through the children with special needs, it came back a bit and I can connect.
Is that an idea that you had, or did you get inspiration from somewhere, or did that kind of just come and it seemed to be a good fit?
It just came to me, as also a friend told me, there's a family with a very special child and they're really struggling. Is it possible to support them, and could they get it? An animal, and and then I was really touched by the situation, by the idea, and I felt like, this is also really making me happy, because it's so win-win for all sides. Cool. Like this has happened. That's my beautiful. Idea before was more joining children into the shelter to teach them more about the animals and to make maybe also some game days or something, but it's too difficult for us if something happened, like a dog would bite. And with 200 dogs, you cannot check every dog with children before how they react. And also, we just have not enough time to organize it. No, you would need an extra team also for this.
That's a lot. So it's quite bold what you've done. And I think, looking at, you know, you've set up 2 not-for-profits in foreign countries, and for a lot of people, I think setting up a not-for-profit in their own country would be a big challenge, but you've managed to do this in 2 different countries. How are you, just an optimist, or like how do you go about the different challenges that you face in doing this?
I think the first is that I really trust in the things will come as I need it, but not always. I had many situations or points in this Animal Rescue Time that I was desperate, and then I thought, like, oh my god, what I have done, there's no way back, because you have so many animals now, you have the responsibilities, you have many people working for you, and they need the salary. So I lost trusting in the situation sometimes, and then it's getting really tough for me, because then your mind is getting busy in being scared what's going to happen in the future and how you can manage financially. I mean, this is always a difficult thing about the donations, but yeah, what will happen if we have 300, 400, 500 dogs? And then I'm lost if my mind starting creating this drama.
Yeah.
So normally I think if I'm in a good condition, I'm trusting.
Yeah. So what grounds you then when you are finding you're losing that trust? What brings you back?
It's for sure my friends in Germany, if I talk to them. Mm. Sometimes I have also volunteers here. I have a very good relation to them and we can really talk deeper. Mm. Or volunteers who work with me for long and we are still in contact because they know all the situation, they know the culture. Doing yoga for sure as well as grounding me. And yeah, have nice.
Sounds like you have some good things in your toolkit to draw on when things are getting stressful and tough.
Yes,
and,
I have.
And in your experience with the trust thing, I'm interested about that. That is, in your experience, when you are grounded and you do find that trust, does it settle and then things start to work out? Like you see the path clearer?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, still we are there, still it's going on, still we survive. So I think if I look at this, yes, it's right to trust. Like, yeah, because it's always going on and always there are solutions. It will not, the earth will not stop, how you say, turning or how you say. So, yeah, this is working. And I know if my mind changed into the panic modus, then nothing is working anymore because I'm blocked. I cannot focus.
Yeah.
My energy is going down. So I think there's only the way of trust, generally in life, I guess.
Yeah. What do you trust in? Just the ultimate kind of plan for you or the purpose that you, or the following your heart? What's the...
Following my heart, for sure I'm trusting... I'm trusting that I will always meet the right people to support me in several ways, because this is something in my life I have really good luck to meet amazing people all the time. If it's in different difficult parts of my life, which was before the animal rescue, or if it's now. And yeah, I also believe in a spiritual way that there is something. If you are doing good things, there will be a support that you are able to do it. And if you're struggling a lot, it's always a process of learning, right? So after going through a very hard time, and I had really hard times already, that I just wanted to run away from all this. But after doing this, I think always you're a little bit more strong and you see, okay, also this crisis you managed.
Yeah.
And the next crisis, maybe you will remember, okay, it's not the first time.
So as it happens each time in the cycle,
yes,
then you learn and you can,
yes,
you can trust more. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that resonates.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. And who in your life... or what in your life has inspired you to be doing what you're doing now? Is there anyone or anything?
First, I think it was already my own deep wish to do a project for the animals, and it was also always my wish to leave Germany and go more in the Asian direction.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, the dog temple and also the animal aid in Udaipur in Rajasthan in India. And both places I did volunteering and it was inspiring for sure.
Yeah. So, and that was through Workaway? Was that the Workaway platform or was
it
a different volunteering?
Yeah, it was through Workaway and animal aid. I just found it, I think I was searching in India what kind of shelters, and then I found it like this. It's a very, very big organization. They have also donkeys and cows and everything.
Wow. Nice.
So it's really nice. And yeah, so and my own dogs also. I think they helped me so much in my life too, because I had also mentally very difficult times, and they always helped me to go on my way.
Yeah.
And so this was something I thought, okay, dogs or animals in general, they are such amazing creatures. If you look at them in the right way, or if you are open to see what they can do for you, that I really want to support them, because they are voiceless, and most of humans are egoists, and they feel like they are more important and more valid like animals. So they really need people who say, okay, but I want to be the one who protects them and helps them.
That's beautiful. We need that in the world, definitely.
Definitely.
And what with the situation in both Sumatra and Sri Lanka, what are the biggest issues that you're seeing with in relation to stray dogs and cats that you're trying to address?
In Sumatra, the biggest issue is the meat market, which is existing, and there's a special group of the culture with belief that the dog meat is very healthy, it's protecting against malaria and make you strong and everything, and they really have mainly dogs to sell them or to eat them. And I never have seen the meat market by myself, because I know this would break my spirit. I only have seen videos how they keep them until they get sold, and it's really, it's so bad. So for me, this is the main problem, how to stop this. But there are already organizations that try to do something against it, but I think that it'll be always a black market. So so difficult. And of course, there are also dogs with mange and owners who have not enough money to give protein. They feed only rice, and then the dogs get in a bad condition, and they don't know about treatments or what a dog needs. So my team also try around the village to teach the people a bit. Yeah, and I think also the situation that the Islam is telling that dogs are like not good or not clean. Of course, dogs are struggling about this in these countries. And we cannot do something against this, because it's just related to the religion they are living. In Sri Lanka, it's completely different. In Sri Lanka, for me, the main problem is there must be much more castration, because the population is so high that it's not possible to, there are enough food rest for the animals to keep them healthy. Yeah, there are just too many, and too many suffering and too many accidents. And I think it's really necessary to make more castrations. I mean, many programs were already going on, but you can see in Trincomalee there were never castration programs, and it's just so full of suffering dogs. Like every day we get a new dog who is in a very bad condition and need rescued, and we are doing right now 40 castration every month, but we should do much more, but there's not enough donation for this, because it's the only thing how we can change the situation. It makes no sense to have 1,000 dogs in a shelter. I mean, we have to change the population.
It's getting to the systemic issues, isn't it? Do you feel like you're making an impact in what you are doing with the castration program that you have?
Yes. Because sometimes people give me the feedback, I was 3 years ago at this beach and there were much more dogs. Also, much more owners are coming and bringing the dogs for surgery. This was not common in this poor area. Even they didn't know you can make a surgery for a dog that he's not getting pregnant anymore. But sometimes there are like times every day they dump puppies. There are times more dogs are in heat and then all give birth. And then I feel like, oh my God, there's nothing changed. But I think, I'm quite sure there's it must be, because we do it already since 3 years and castrate. And and I really focus on getting donations for more castration, that we can make the process faster, because if we get more dogs like in the fast months, we're really breaking down. So
yeah,
because you cannot handle anymore, it's more and more dogs. And also I'm not happy to have so many dogs in the shelter. Many I think they would like to be free, but they are from puppy time with us, so you cannot put them on the street.
Yeah, and it's also that you can't see the direct impact of what you are doing, because you don't know what the situation would be like if you weren't doing the
castration program.
So yeah, I think there's that trust and hope that you are making a difference, and I'm sure you are.
And it's really very nice to see the families we are supporting, like they are really taking care about the dogs. Really, they are also cuddling the dogs.
Mm.
And the dogs are kind of part of the family, and this is giving me also hope.
Mm.
Like this sponsorship program, the dog is more valid as he's supporting the family, and then they are able to get a different kind of relation to the dog. Mm. And every time if I visit the family and the dog is looking very good and happy, then I'm also really happy. Like this are, there are some moments which are giving me really energy to go on. This is with his family, this is with the handicapped children. And this is if we find adoption to Europe, and I see the dog very happy in a European family. This is, this is amazing.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of witnessing that. I've been here at the volunteer shelter, and I've met Mia, who was here, and Mia's been adopted to Germany. And we've been seeing videos of Mia now in Germany and being so happy.
Yeah, just from the first moment, this is really special that she was not scared in the beginning because she didn't know this family.
Yeah.
But she was directly fully happy and
so
open
nice.
And exploring everything. So
especially
she was since very small puppy with me. She was just starting to eat by herself. And if you see her growing and then in the end you see her in this situation, this is really a gift for me.
If you could speak to Connie, who first started this adventure of volunteering at animal shelters and then starting, you know, thinking about starting these not-for-profits, what would you say to her?
Yeah, it really depending on how I'm feeling, because often I think, okay, if I could tell me before, I would say don't start it. You will be never be free again. You will be always responsible. You will have always, you must be online. You will be always under tension financially. And just do volunteering in shelters. I know how important volunteers are, and they are such an amazing support. So do volunteering, give donations if you have leftover of money, but don't start it by your own. So, and then there are moments like I really feel like, oh, I see all these animals, most of them, they wouldn't be alive anymore, or the moments with adoption. And then I see, hey, it's this what you should do, and it's right. This is changing nearly every day.
Yeah.
It depends on my emotional situation and mentally, and also what's going on. And if I'm under lots of tension, then I just think, oh my God, why I started this? Why I was free? I could travel around. But I think there would be always a wish to start a project by my own. I don't think this would stop if I was not doing so. There's a reason why I have this vision. You know, so.
That's so beautiful. I'm so glad you have followed your heart in doing this.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned that you rely solely on donations from people. And so right now, what's the most urgent thing that you need donations for?
The most urgent thing is for another worker, because the 7 workers for 200 dogs is not enough. More than 20 dogs are paralyzed. That means they need much more care. They need time in the wheelchair. There's a lot of cleaning work as they cannot control the toilet. The puppies need special attention, everything. So to have really a good care like I want to have it, I need one more worker. So this is one thing. The other thing is really for castration. I know people, they don't love to give money for castration because it's not giving them such a great feeling. If they see a dog after an accident and we say, okay, we need money to go for surgery because, and it's true, we have no extra money for this. We have to go 4 hours with a car to a hospital because there are no facilities nearby. So it's expensive. They're happy because they directly get the benefits. They see after the surgery the dog is fit and they made it. So if they give money for castration and they see the pictures are okay, they got castrated, and I'm part of it. It's not this emotional benefit, yeah. You know.
It's not as like glamorous in that.
Yeah, that's feel not good glamour. Thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Also here it's a good situation to say if you give donations for castration, it's really the biggest thing you can do for the animal rescue because this can also make us to go on, because if we have this more and more in the shelter, we really have a problem. So we have to do something against this big, big population that they are not dumping more and more puppies. So if you support us this money for castration, for me, it's the biggest support you can do at the moment.
Yeah.
And for the salary as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the main thing. I mean, even for food, we need 4,000 euro monthly only for Sri Lanka. And this is also hard to get by donations. But for the whole situation to make a really impact, it's for castrations and for the salary for one more workers. Also, I'm scared the workers could burn out because they're working so hard and
yeah.
so many hours. And yeah.
And we've spoken about before that there's a lot of animals at the shelter, but if more animals are getting, because the more you get known in the area, the more animals are getting
yes.
taken and dumped at your doorstep.
This is
and
a problem,
you
yeah.
you have to take them in, otherwise they get taken by the street dogs.
Yeah, this is
so
a sad thing. We cannot leave them outside; they will be killed, especially the puppies. And what is really also very important and a very big support for me, if people are ready to make a sponsorship for a family. So it's like you pay 12 euro monthly for a family to have for the money for the education of the child. And I need another sponsor for each animal they take. It's 12 euro. Now it's 15 because 12 is not matching anymore with what they need. 15 euro monthly for the animal food. So if we have this two sponsorship, one animal can move to the family. And this is also for us really helping us that less dogs are in the shelter. So less work for the workers and, of course, a better life for the animal and a different view from people to the animals. So this is like a big, big impact. And it's so difficult to find these family sponsors. I don't know why. But it's going very slowly. So I would love to be faster, bring animals in the families and start this kind of project. But yeah, it's, I don't know.
That's such a holistic way of looking at it too, isn't it? That you're providing support to disadvantaged families, to support with education for the child and for them to have an animal, which can also bring so much to the animal and to the family. So,
I hope that
can grow.
And
definitely.
The sponsors, they get videos and pictures of the child, of the animals. They really know how it's going on.
Mm.
So, I think it's also a beautiful experience. But, this would be great if I find some sponsors like this.
So, in terms of the vision for the future, what's your long-term vision?
My long-term vision, okay. First is I really want to have a volunteer program in Trincomalee as well.
And will you do that through Workaway? Is that what you're...
I will do that also through Workaway,
yeah.
Then I want to have for part of the dogs an open shelter program that the door is always open, they can go and come. So in the future we will move to another place because finally government give us a place for free.
Wow.
But we have to take all dogs from Trincomalee, so the street is empty. So in their imagination, you would have, I don't know how many thousand dogs in the
shelter.
So
they've said that if you take all the dogs from the street,
and then I'll be there. And then Niraj said, okay, this is not possible. Yeah. This is not making sense. And we are already struggling.
I mean, in a perfect world, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
maybe they'll fund the salaries of all the people needed.
Yes, but it's just completely far from reality.
Yes, not reality.
And already we do a castration program, which is normally should the government do, right? Yeah. Already we give all castrated dogs rabies vaccination to save people. This is also what the government should do. They finally said, okay, also in the way we do it, we get this place. So it will be a big area with no neighbors around. And so I think it would be possible. A lot of dogs can be free and come for food.
Mm.
And the old shelter will be for volunteers and puppies and for some special dogs. So we have like two places, and then the volunteers can also focus on social media work for the puppies to easier find adoption and teach puppies walking on leash early, which is not enough time for the team. This is one vision. Another vision is to really have a school program to teach children about cats and dogs, to have a bigger project for the handicapped people. To have a bigger castration program, and because of this, much less dumped puppies. And I would love to show the people like how amazing friends the animals are, because this is in this culture. Some people have this special connection, but in the East Quad, it's very, very rare. So that you meet people that really touching the dog. Normally it's not happening. The dog is there and he's barking if someone is coming and that's it.
Yeah. Wow. So what's the best way that people can follow along with your journey, with what's happening?
I think of Facebook, because I'm posting always if there are new things happening, like nearly every day. We are also on Instagram, but Instagram is more like seeing nice pictures, so you don't see what kind of emergency cases we picked up, or not that much like on Facebook. Yeah, and on YouTube, I started a YouTube channel, and I'm also it's in English only, but yeah, every day I make a short or something, so you can follow there as well. I know I should also do TikTok, but there's not enough time.
There's only one of you.
Yes, only one of me, and already Elena, she was volunteering with me, and she's doing Instagram for me, and also she's helping with the sponsorships.
Yeah. It sounds like volunteers have been such a key part as well.
Yeah.
There's so many ways and avenues that people can support what you're doing.
Even
if it's just sharing it, volunteering, but donations, obviously, sponsorships. So
yes.
Many things.
And share about us.
And sharing,
There's always a chance. Even one person who starts supporting us is a big support. So sharing about us and our situation. Because, this is really, I don't want what happened, that we break down financially one day completely and then what we do.
Yeah.
This is not allowed to happen. It will not happen. So I will...
We're going to trust that won't happen.
Yes.
Keep on trusting.
Exactly.
Keep on following your heart. And is there anything else you wanted to share or say before we finish up?
There's another wish for Sumatra. I would like to have also a volunteer program. But I think this is, still we have no rooms. And let's see if it's possible in the future.
Cool.
No, and I'm just so happy also meet people like you supporting me with the podcast, supporting me with the work here, and having understanding for what I'm doing really from heart. So this is also giving me always energy and positive thinking that there are many people by my side.
Yeah.
So they say, okay, go for it, and you are not alone. So
that's so beautiful. Oh, you're an inspiration, Connie, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you.